In light of that, please turn your Bibles to the Gospel according to John in the New Testament. This morning we will consider verses 29 through 34 of chapter 1 as we continue our exposition of the Apostle John's Gospel. This passage of Scripture, as I studied it, brought to my mind a couple of Old Testament historical narratives as I thought about what John is saying here. One in particular, which is fitting to introduce our text this morning, is in 2 Kings, during the time of Elisha, the prophet. Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, had gathered his army and besieged the city of Samaria, the capital city of Israel at that time. And the Bible says in 2 Kings 6, 24 and 25, and there was a great famine in Samaria also. Now, as you continue reading that historical narratives, you get to chapter 7 and verse 3, it says, and there were four leprous men of Israel dying of starvation. And they decided to turn themselves over to the Syrian army, possibly to be fed and not die. Our chances are better just turning ourselves over to our enemies. Maybe they'll feed us because we're being besieged here in Samaria and there's a famine and we're just dying. So they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they did, it says in 2 Kings 7:5, behold, there was no one there. It's this massive camp, this massive army, and they go to turn themselves in and there's nobody there. And continuing in 2 Kings 7:6, it says, for the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the sound of chariots and the sound of horses, even the sound of a great army, so that they said to one another, behold, the king of Israel has hired against us, the king of the Hittites, and the king of the Egyptians to come upon us. Therefore they arose and fled in twilight and left their tents and their horses and their donkeys, even the camp, just as it was, and fled for their life. When these four lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they entered one tent and ate and drank and carried from their silver and gold and clothes and went and hid them. And they returned and entered another tent and carried from there also and went and hid them. And then they said to one another, we are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, but we are keeping silent. If we wait until morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household. And that's exactly what they did. That's exactly what they did. The key phrase there is, we are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, but we are keeping silent. Can you imagine that? They said, we gotta go tell our brothers. We gotta go tell people about this. A great illustrative story to introduce our text this morning. This too is a day of good news in our text that we're gonna read and in our own day. Keeping silent is not doing right. We too must tell of God's deliverance, right? And that deliverance is in the person and work of Jesus Christ as set forth in the Holy Bible. And the Gospel of John, the Gospel, meaning good news, John's Gospel is the purpose of that very thing, is the person of the Apostle John's Gospel of our text this morning, this morning. He even ends his Gospel at chapter 20, verses 30 and 31 by saying, many other signs, therefore, Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. That is John's purpose of his whole gospel. It's to say, this is a day of good news. And he's not silent. 21 chapters of good news about Jesus Christ. And so what we have here is the Apostle John, in written form, is bearing witness to what he has seen and he has heard, as he says in 1 John, and is proclaiming to his readers the eternal life. He even writes in 1 John, the epistle, what was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we beheld, and hands have handled concerning the word of life. And life was manifest, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also. And that's what he's doing in this gospel. He's giving testimony. The gospel according to John is John's eyewitness testimony of salvation in Jesus Christ. That's what we have right here in written form. An eyewitness testimony of salvation in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And in this gospel, according to John, he introduces Jesus Christ, as you know, as we went through the prologue, as the incarnate Son of God, the eternal pre-existent Son, who became flesh and dwelt among us, as he said there in verse 14. God became flesh. The pre-incarnate became incarnate and dwelt among us. And to prove this, as he makes his propositional statement in his prologue, to prove this, John draws the reader's attention throughout this gospel to seven miraculous signs. We know that Jesus turned water into wine. He heals a dying son. He heals a lame man. He feeds 5,000. He walks on water. He heals a blind man from his birth. He raises Lazarus from the dead. And he this miraculous catch of fish at the end. Seven signs he does. And John records that to prove his point here in his gospel. And then he also calls other eyewitnesses to prove Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, deity as Savior. Besides John the Apostle himself, the writer of this gospel, along with the other 11 or 10 apostles and others, John, so to speak, now calls John the Baptist to the witness stand. Kind of a courtroom setting. He calls John the Baptist to the witness stand to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Ever hear that before? That's what we do. And John is called to the witness stand by the Apostle John in this gospel. John the Apostle records John the Baptist's testimony regarding Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, to help prove his point that he made in his prologue. Already in the Apostle John's introduction to this gospel, he states in verse 6, there came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for a witness that he might bear witness of the light that all men might believe through him. So John was a witness. And the Apostle John is calling John's witness to the stand and said, let's hear what John has to say. Then in verse 19, he gives the details of John's witness of Christ. He says there, and this is the witness of John, when the Jews sent to him high priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? This is his witness. And then verses 19 through 28, John the Baptist clearly states as a witness. In verse 26, John answers saying, I baptize in water, but among you stands one who you do not know. John is clearly testifying, as recorded in this gospel, that the Messiah had come. That's what he's saying. The Messiah had come and was among them. That's what he says there. It was among them, although they didn't know who he was. But John is saying, emphatically, he's here. He's standing among you. The Messiah is here. He has come. As Galatians 4:4 says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. And he did. And the fullness of time had come. The day of good news had come, and John was not silent like the lepers. He said, I am a voice crying in the wilderness, verse 23. And he's saying, he is here. He has come. He is among you, and you don't know him. According to the Apostle John in this gospel, John the Baptist gave testimony that day to the religious elite of Judaism that day. But of course, every day is a day of good news. So there came a day to proclaim the day Jesus came. And we do that. We proclaim that Jesus came, and we proclaim that he's coming again. In our text in verse 129 now, as we pick up, it says the next day. So here's the next day. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to him. And the Baptist once again gives testimony about Jesus, bearing witness that all might believe through his testimony. And here he is. Notice John's testimony now. As the apostle records for his readers John's eyewitness account for Christ, as if John is kind of on the witness stand to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Now John 1:29. Hear what he says. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is John's testimony. Here John uses a figure of speech to identify Jesus. A figure of speech, but also a proper name. A proper name. Not a Lamb of God, but the Lamb of God. The definite article, and the L should be capital. It's a proper name. With the preposition of, meaning possession. The Lamb of God, meaning God's Lamb. The Lamb that belongs to God. If you kind of bear out the language there. Israel will be aware of daily sacrifices of lambs at the temple as a burnt offering for sin. They'll be aware for that. They were killing lambs every day at the temple and offering them up. They would connect to that figure of speech, that proper name. Israel will be aware of the yearly sacrifices of the lambs at Passover as a memorial offering for their deliverance of bondage and slavery. The lamb would have connected with them, and John uses that, led by the Spirit of God. John the Baptist points to the person, Jesus, and says, look, behold, lege. This is a continuous action verb. He didn't just say look one time, he said look. What he's saying is, keep looking continuously. Don't take your eyes off him. Look. That's a continuous action verb in the Greek. It means just keep looking. Don't take your eyes off him. Why? This person is God's lamb. Not an animal for sacrifice for sin, which is only temporary, but a person who is God's own sacrifice for sin, a permanent sacrifice. This person he's pointing to is God's Lamb, the only sacrifice that can take away sin permanently. The sin of the world, it says there, in a world of sinners, only Christ can take away a person's sin. If anybody in the whole world is going to have their sins taken away, he's the one that can do it, nobody else. This person, Jesus, is the only one who can take away sin. Why? Why? Because, answer, he is God's Lamb, offered up. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means this. God has provided for himself the acceptable sacrifice for sin permanently. That's what it means. God has provided for himself an acceptable sacrifice for sin permanently. So, John, knowing that's true, look. Behold, he says, consider my testimony, John is saying. God's Lamb provided for you. If John the Baptist were on the witness stand and he was cross-examined, the question may be asked, why do you say that? Why do you say, behold, look, keep on looking, the Lamb of God, God's Lamb? Why? Why do you keep saying that? Explain. Well, notice verse 30. This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who is higher ranked than I, for he existed before me. Now, the previous day, John had already told the religious elite of Judaism this very thing that's recorded here in Matthew or in John 1:30. He told them that in Matthew 3:1, and then through 3:11, he told them that. And he even says that here in verse 15 of this gospel, John bore witness of him, crying out, saying, "This is he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me." And John records it, the Apostle John records it again in John's testimony. Two times in just this gospel, referring back to when he said that, they're recorded in Matthew 3:11. And the Apostle John wants this testimony that I just read to you, verse 30, to be part of John's eyewitness testimony in his gospel. This is, you keep saying, look, there's Jesus, he's the Lamb of God, look at him. Why are you saying that? Well, because I told you before, after me comes a man higher ranked than I, because he existed before me. What John the Baptist is saying is, y'all came after me in droves, thinking that I was a somebody. But I'm just a nobody trying to tell anybody about somebody who can save everybody. That's who I am. I'm just a voice. Don't look at me. Look at him. The Lamb provided by God is superior in every way to me. I'm just a mere human. I'm pointing to deity. I'm pointing to God's Lamb, God's provision. God's Lamb is deity. He is the, that's the only way you could comprehend what he's saying there. He existed before me. He is the pre-existent one. He's the promised one to come. And John is saying, he's here. He has come. Stop looking at me. Look at him. This is the one, I said, stands among you whom you don't know. Now you know who it is. I'm trying to point to you. Look at him so you can know him. And John continues, but I didn't recognize him at first, just like you don't know him either. I didn't recognize him at first either. But this is my testimony that so you can recognize him as God's Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Notice John continues his testimony recorded by the Apostle John, now in verse 31. And he says, I did not recognize him, I didn't recognize him at first, that he was Messiah, but in order that he might be made manifest, or that manifest to Israel, I came baptizing in water, so the Messiah will be manifest to Israel. That's what he's saying. In order that. John came for a witness. He was sent from God. We know that in verse 6. God sent John to bear witness of Christ as God's Lamb by preaching and baptizing, calling for repentance, recorded in Matthew 3:1-2. John's testimony is this. Listen, I'm a prophet. I'm a prophet sent by God. Now, a prophet is someone who goes to the people for God. I'm a prophet of God. Everybody recognize John as a prophet. I'm a son of a Levite priest. Zechariah, I'm a son of a Levite priest. Now, a priest is someone who goes to God for the people. John said, I'm separate from the hypocrisy of Judaism. I'm out here in the wilderness. I'm no way connected to that mess. God sent me to preach his word, to call people to repentance. Why? In preparation of the Messiah's arrival. Because he has come. He's arrived. God incarnate. He's here. All those Old Testament prophecies, all that promise, the day has come. The fullness of time has come. He's here. This is the day of good news. I'm not keeping silent. God sent me to baptize so that all Israel would know the Messiah stands among you, and he is here. And John is saying, I did not fully recognize Jesus as the Messiah at first, but God sent me to baptize so Israel would know and that I would know. Not only would Israel know, but I would know so I could actually say that. And this is my testimony why I can say Jesus is God's Lamb. This is why. the one who takes away the sin of the world. Well, okay. Give us further explanation about that. Okay, look at verse 32. And John bore witness, and here he is on the witness stand, saying, I beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. And I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. That's how I know. That's how I know. That's why I testify Jesus is God's Son. God gave me this information. God sent me to be a witness. He sent me to baptize that all Israel would know that the Messiah has come and that I would be able to recognize him as I was preaching and calling for repentance. Notice also, this is God's testimony who Jesus is. God sent me, John saying. God said to me, so God actually spoke to John the Baptist. God said to me, when the one comes to you at his baptism, and God is talking to John, and you see the Spirit descending from above and remaining on him, this is the one, this is the Messiah. I'm going to help you recognize the Messiah so that you can help Israel recognize the Messiah. Also notice, for your own reference, like a commercial, the Holy Spirit is a he. The Holy Spirit is a he. Notice what it says there in verse 32. And John bore witness and beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and what? He remained upon him. Not it. He remained upon him. So the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is a he. He's a person. He's a person. Also, it says, as a dove, not the appearance of a dove, so we don't put a dove out in front of the church coming down. Not the appearance of a dove. The Spirit descended in flight like a bird, like the motion of a dove. Not a flame, not a tongue, not a bright light, but this flight of this person coming down and resting upon Christ as a dove out of heaven, like a bird would descend out of sight and into sight and then resting upon Christ. Possibly small, possibly winged, possibly white, that's not the point. But from heaven, and a person, the Holy Spirit is a person, descending and remaining, a person descending in flight. So he's seen a person, and he came down kind of like a dove, the only way I can say and I can explain it. John's eyewitness testimony is, this is how I recognized him. And God told me so. God told me, when you see this, then this is the Messiah. And you can proclaim him as the Messiah, and you can point to him and say, this is the one who takes away the sin of the world. This is my lamb I provided for you. And so John is saying, that's why I said the Messiah is here. Can you imagine John on the witness stand saying all this? That's why I said that. I have this eyewitness testimony. His name is Jesus, God's Lamb. That's why I said, look, behold, this person, Jesus. That's why I said, he is the Lamb of God, because I seen the Spirit descending. God told me, when you see the Spirit descending, that's the one. And not only that, because John is saying, as always, God will provide for himself the lamb. God will provide for himself the lamb for the sacrifice. And this is my testimony. Look at verse 34. And I have seen and have bore witness that this is the Son of God. Very strong testimony, wouldn't you say? Good thing John called him to the witness stand. John is saying, I was sent by God to give testimony. I baptized in water so Israel would hear my preaching, to know the Messiah has come. God said to me, this is how you will recognize the Messiah, John. And John's saying, I've seen this with my own eyes. I'm a prophet sent by God to tell you what God wants you to know. I have seen and have already bore witness about this pre-existent incarnate deity, that this is the Son of God. This is the Son of God. God himself has provided the Lamb. That's why he's the Lamb of God. For the sacrifice for sins. His one and only Son, the Son of God. Make the connection. The Lamb of God, provided by God, God's Lamb, as a sin offering, is God's Son. It's God's Son. Not only, listen to me, not only will God provide for himself the Lamb, and he always does, but God himself will be the Lamb provided for your sins. Get that? God himself will be the Lamb provided for your sins. God himself. The Lamb is the Son of God, God incarnate. The Son of God who immerses people in, with, and by the Holy Spirit. And only God can do that. Only God can do that. Only God can be the perfect sacrificial Lamb for the sacrifice for sins. Only God can do that. That's why he's deity. That's why he's the Son of God. And this day, the day that John saw Jesus coming to him, was a day of good news. It was a day of good news, testified by John the Baptist. And he did not keep silent when he was called to the witness stand to give testimony. He told of God's deliverance. He said, the Messiah is here. He is Jesus, God's Son, God's Lamb for sacrifice. So look, behold. And John's testimony continues. Notice verse 35. This is getting to next week's sermon, but I want to introduce it. And again, the next day, this is another day, John was standing with his two disciples. And he looked upon Jesus as he walked and said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. I love that verse. I love that verse. Just put that on my gravestone. When they heard him speak, they followed Jesus. That is the purpose why John said the Messiah is here. This is the purpose. He kept saying, look, behold, God's Lamb, God's Son. John just kept giving testimony. He just kept bearing witness of the light. He just kept speaking for God. He kept pointing people to Christ. That's what he did. And it says, two of John's disciples heard him pointing and speaking, and they followed Jesus. Isn't that great? And they followed Jesus. It's one thing to know that he came, and he did, and that he's here, as John is saying in this text. And it's great to have someone point him out to you, as I'm doing this morning, as God's Lamb, God's Son, Jesus, as a sacrifice for your sins. It's one thing to tell people he came and he's coming again, and that he's God's Son. Look at him, look at him, look at him. He's the one. But there must be a response to that truth. There must be a verdict. What is the verdict of the courtroom? What is the verdict of those sitting, listening? What is the jury's verdict? There must be a response to that truth. Many know about Jesus. Many know the Messiah, so to speak, has come. Many hear preachers point to Jesus and proclaim God's Lamb, look, as I'm trying so hard to do this morning, a sacrificial sin offering of God himself, the Son of God for you. Look, look. But then, do not respond in faith and repentance and follow Jesus. Isn't that sad? He's come. He's here. He's coming again. This is who he is. He's Jesus, God's Lamb, a sacrifice for your sin. Look. Look at the cross. But then you got to follow him after you hear that truth. Many know it, know about Jesus. Many hear about Jesus. Many hear a lot of preachers point to Jesus. And then they don't follow him. But our text says two did. Two of them did. That's the start. And we'll continue next time the apostles' good news with these two. In closing, as I mentioned, this text reminds me of a couple Old Testament historical narratives. I shared the first one with you in 2 Kings 6 and 7. And the other is in Genesis 22, which records the event of Abraham, who was told by God in verse 2, "Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, and offer him there as a burnt offering." That would be a sin offering. You know the record that as Abraham and Isaac ascended the mountain, Isaac said to his father, verse 7, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" And listen to Abraham's response to his son. What did Abraham say? "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." God will provide. God always provides. He always provides. It is God who provides for himself the lamb, the burnt offering. And John is telling us it was his one and only son whom he loved. God's lamb. Look what God has provided to satisfy his judgment of sin. God's lamb has come. Do you see him? If so, follow him. Follow him. Let me just give you these couple closing thoughts. Jesus has come, and he's coming again. That's my testimony, because it comes from Scripture. I'm just being a voice for God, like John the Baptist. The gospel says, look, God is the Lamb provided that takes away sin. All you have to do is look at the cross and see that truth. The question is, are you following him? If not, will you follow him? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of your word, and thank you that it is penetrating. The truth always penetrates. It always removes error. It always overcomes the opinion and ideals and ideologies of the flesh in the world, and the demonic forces that propagate false truth. Thank you for the truth that sets us free, that sanctifies us, that you use to save sinners. Lord, help us to realize that we needed a Savior, and you provide the Savior because we were sinners. It's a wonderful thing to recognize that truth, Father. There's a joy that is only known on the other side of repentance and faith. There's a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory for those that you take this truth by your Spirit and penetrate hearts and bring them from death to life, and they see Christ and his love for them, and they respond in faith and repentance and embrace him as Savior. Oh, Lord, would you please save souls? Continue, Lord, to build your church. Use us as the pillar and ground of the truth in this community. Lord, to honor your word, to exalt Christ, and to glorify your holy and righteous name. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.